Our first scripture reading is from the second chapter of 2 Kings, Elijah taken into heaven. When the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven in a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were traveling from Gilgal, and Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to Bethel." But Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went together to Bethel. Then Elijah said to Elisha, "Stay here, for the Lord has told me to go to the Jordan River." But again Elisha replied, "As surely as the Lord lives, and you yourself live, I will never leave you." So they went together. 50 men from the group of prophets also went and watched from a distance as Elijah and Elisha stopped beside the Jordan River. Then Elijah folded his cloak together and struck the water with it. The river divided, and the two of them went across on dry ground. When they came to the other side, Elijah said to Elisha, "Tell me what I can do for you before I am taken away." And Elisha replied, "Please let me inherit a double share of your spirit and become your successor." "You have asked a difficult thing," Elijah said. "If you see me when I am taken from you, then you will get your request, but if not, then you won't." As they were walking together and talking, suddenly a chariot of fire appeared and drawn by horses of fire. It drove between the two men, separating them, and Elijah was carried by a whirlwind into heaven. Elisha saw it and cried out, "My father, my father, I see the chariots and charioteers of Israel." And as they disappeared from sight, Elisha tore his clothes in distress. Elisha picked up Elijah's cloak, which had fallen when he had taken up. Then Elisha returned to the bank of the Jordan River. He struck the water with Elijah's cloak and cried out, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" Then the river divided, and Elisha went across. Our second reading is from the fifth chapter of Galatians. Freedom in Christ. So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in slavery to the law. For you have been called to live in freedom, my brothers and sisters, but don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another in love. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command: love your neighbor as yourself. But if you are always biting and devouring one another, watch out, beware of destroying one another. Living by the Spirit of Spirit's power. So I say, let the Holy Spirit guide our lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. The sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are the opposite of what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other so that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. But when you are directed by the Spirit, you are not under obligation to the law of Moses. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear: sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties, and other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have nailed the passions and desires of their sinful nature to his cross and crucified them there. Since we are living by the Spirit, let us follow the Spirit's leading in every part of our lives. Let us not become conceited or provoke one another or be jealous of one another. May God bless these words to our hearts and minds, for these are God's words for God's people. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Hey, Lord, here we are, just a few folks hanging out, waiting for something to happen. Not sure why we're here or what we're here to do, and yet knowing that our belief in the teachings of your Son, Jesus Christ, mean that we will know our call when we're called to do your work, to care, to share, to stand with, to witness, to love. Bring us the trust and the faith we need to hear the Holy Spirit's voice calling us today and every day. Amen. Excuse me, speaking of being outside and allergies. Well, today we heard poor Gene have to read and read and read and read. As you're reading, Gene, I'm thinking, I don't know who picks the scripture, but they need to start picking shorter ones. So I'll have a talk with her, see if we can get her to pick shorter ones. But thank you for wading through all of that, because it's a very important teaching. Both of them were. We heard about Elijah's ascension to glory and the calling to be a prophet, which was passed from Elijah to Elisha. You know, Elisha had been working together for Elijah for a lot of years, and he enjoyed learning from Elijah, but it still seems unclear whether or not he realized that this responsibility was going to pass to him when Elijah went on to glory. And the passing of that torch, or the passing of that call, or the passing of that responsibility was signified by Elijah's coat or scarf, or sometimes mantle, depending on the translation of the Bible you're reading, this something that got passed from Elijah to Elisha. And it is the reason, this story is part of the reason that pastors wear stole. It is to remind us of that passing down of the calling of the prophecy of our yoking to God to be teachers of the scripture. So in essence, Elisha's call was very much like the kids who take over the family farm or the family business. It was, hey, Elijah said to Elisha, here you go, dude, this is all yours. I'm gone. And Elisha took over the family business of being a prophet. So what is a call? We talk about people having callings or calls. Well, it's a little like answering a phone. You know, in the simplest form, a phone rings and we answer it, have a conversation, and that call has now become a part of our lives. That conversation is a part of our lives. Well, in the world of Christian practitioners, that's all of us in this room, when you're helping or supporting or you're caring or you're witnessing for someone, and it just feels like the right thing to do, that's a call. That's a very important call. Way more important than a call to be a pastor. One person as a pastor can stand up here and talk on Sunday morning, can be around once in a while during the week to help with something. But it's what the work that all of you do in quantity that answers very important calls all week long. And we heard that when Elijah is hiding in the cave and the Lord says to him, what in the heck are you doing in this cave, Elijah? What are you doing here? I have things for you to do. And that's what God would say to you. What are you doing hanging out in this cave? What are you doing hanging out here? What do I have things for you to do? And do we answer those when God asks us for a little help, when the Holy Spirit whispers in our ears? Well, I hope we do. And in Galatians, we paired up the story where Paul is reminding us that we're called to listen. That's our first calling, to listen. To listen to the calls that are being put on our life. But we as humans find so many ways to ignore those calls. We make rules all the time that prohibit our ability to respond. We stand motionless waiting for instruction or clarification or interpretation, but we're not really listening for what we might hear from the Holy Spirit. Just listen. The Holy Spirit will tickle your conscience with what you need to do. As Paul tells us, serve one another in love. And in verse 14, he repeats these words, love your neighbor as you love yourself, the greatest commandment from Jesus. And in verse 15, he continues, if you say or do things that harm one another, you could end up destroying one another. Paul's telling us, live in love unafraid, without overthinking, without overanalyzing what the human trappings are. Love everyone, no exceptions. Love at all times, no exceptions. Too often we walk away from things because the Holy Spirit is asking us to help, but it seems too uninteresting or distasteful. And within Paul's message is another message that reminds us that we are to never teach vengeance or fortify judgment against any part of God's creation. We're not to spew hate or segregation in the name of God or the name of our religion. Paul tells us if we do this, we'll destroy one another. Well, it took me many years to follow the call that I first heard when I was 18 to ministry. Like 40. I guess I'm not very quick. I kept saying, never mind on that ministry thing, God. I'll teach the fourth grade Sunday school class. Yeah, never mind. I'm going to go be a Stephen leader, Stephen minister. That'll take care of that. Yeah, okay. I'll be the liturgist. I'll read the scripture. That'll take care of it. Yeah, no, not right now. My kid's in college. Lord, how am I going to go to college? No, forget it. Until one day. I was working in Davenport, Iowa for a few years and came down the tiny elevator out of the building, and a voice behind me made me just about jump out of my skin. That voice said, it is time. I'm by myself. I'm leaving the office after everyone else has left, and I'm like, I'm losing it. Continue down. And I heard one more time, it is time. And I was like, out of the elevator, out of the building. And as I came around the corner, clear as day, I heard it one more time. It is time. And I would have sworn there was somebody standing right there. And I went, okay, I'll turn in my notice tomorrow. And I did. And I went back to Detroit. And I went to seminary because it was also clear as a bell to me what that meant. It is time. Kind of like when your mom says, it's time to stop messing around. Somebody's going to get hurt. It's time to stop messing around. Go get this done. And just like Elisha, I knew like Elisha knew that this was going to be hard, that this was going to cause friction, that it was going to be anything but easy. But we both finally stepped up and did what we were supposed to do in pretty much the same way. Like, this is it. I'm done. I'm throwing this cloak on you. You're it. I'm out of here. Well, I can't even imagine. Elisha probably was standing there going, kind of like I was in that elevator. So yay for me. I listened after 40 years. Woohoo! But, you know, again, that ministry is what I was called to do. But you're called to other ministries all the time. Listen for God's voice. You've heard it. Leave a bigger tip for the server. She needs it. He needs it. Help that elder loading the groceries in their car trunk or pumping their gas. Walk with that person they're hurting and they need your presence. Help your neighbor by mowing their grass or walking their dog. Take the time to call a friend and personally wish them happy birthday or just say hello. Those are callings. That's the Holy Spirit in your ear. Those kids next door are pretty rambunctious, and I can tell they're driving my neighbor crazy. Maybe I can get them to come over and play in my pool for a little while and give my neighbor a break. Those are the times the Holy Spirit is calling you to come and assist, to come and witness, to come and share your love and hope and light, to embrace what the Holy Spirit is calling you to do. And as Paul said in verse 22, the fruit the Holy Spirit produces is love and joy and peace. It's being patient and kind and good. It is being faithful and gentle and having control of oneself. Paul isn't asking us to be docile and retiring and to sit in our cave. Like Elisha, we should not linger in the unhearing darkness, but step up to the request, to the cloak that was dropped in our arms, to step up and live out those callings that the Holy Spirit places on our hearts. Amen.